Listen, if you dare, to the Lovecraft Tapes.
Welcome to the Lovecraft Tapes podcast. This is Case 14, Hypnos. I am Jeremy, your keeper of arcane lore, and we play Chaosium's Call of Cthulhu, a role-playing game filled with cosmic horror, existential dread, and a muddy hole in your backyard where last night's storm uprooted the old oak tree, beneath which you long ago buried a secret you thought would never be unearthed, yet now is crawling toward you with vengeance burning bright in the sockets where its eyes once were.
Mr. Pibbles, teddy bear.
Your investigators of the unknown are Matt, as Rocky.
I'm not late, you're early.
Brian, as Pippa.
If anybody can keep an eye out for that toad, I really need that hypno toad.
All hail.
Battle toad. You got a battle toad in your back pocket?
No, but I hear there's this pawn shop in Vegas that you can call. They might have it.
Well, as you may have noticed, we are minus Gabe tonight. He had some prior commitments, but it didn't matter as far as this story goes. We were able to work around it. So we're going to have another fun time tonight. And welcome back, players. How are you guys doing? I know, Matt, you had to work late tonight.
I was saying earlier that adulting is a trap and nobody should ever do it.
100%. If you can get out of it, do it. Well, you know, guys, I've been thinking about recently Brownie posted a photo on our Discord server, picture of an octopus tentacle served in a hot dog bun. I don't know if you saw that or not.
Oh, yeah.
But it kind of got me thinking, what's the weirdest thing you've ever eaten? For me, it was in Grand Rapids Reserve. The chef was known for preparing offal. So it's usually those bits of animal that you would ordinarily pitch in the trash. And he made a delicious deep fried pigtail. You think of pigtail and it's like, oh, it's this cute little thing. No, it's a massive bone structure.
Yeah, it's a spine.
I deep fried that and, you know, fatty bits and a little bit of flesh here and there. But it was delicious. And I had it several times when he would make it. So how about you guys?
I had Rocky Mountain oysters. Oh, I had a bite of a Rocky Mountain oyster.
And then someone told you what it was.
Correct. It was in Nevada when we went with after my graduation from high school, they wanted to do one last family trip. So we went to Vegas. We actually went to the national parks in Nevada, but.
And that was on a menu at a restaurant?
Yeah. In Vegas. Yeah. As an appetizer.
What did it taste like?
It was very chewy and I didn't like the texture. So
like a rubber ball?
Well, no, you cut it obviously, but yeah, it's like a scotch egg kind of. Except chewy.
During a road trip I once did from here down to Florida, we stopped just at one of those really weird, like off the main road, kind of local only, doesn't really have assigned diner places. I had a kangaroo burger. It has a gamey flavor to it, but it's a lot lighter of a gamey flavor compared to something like venison.
Nice. Well, guys, listeners, if you would like to provide some feedback or praise or just say hi or tell us the weird shit you eat, drop us a letter from beyond on our website at lovecrafttapes.com. And we want to remind you that this show is brought to you in part by you, our generous fans and supporters, on patreon.com/lovecrafttapes.
Yes, thank you very much.
Before we begin, we need to take a quick commercial break.
And now, a word from our sponsor.
Hello, jewel believers. Philodendron here from We Will Rock You, the best jewelry store this side of the Mississippi. You feel me? Never mind all that cubic zirconia crap. We don't tussle with tourmaline. You can flush your citrine down the latrine. Amethyst, onyx, hematite, rhodolite, garnet, peridot, topaz. That's topaz for shit's sake. No thank you. Phil don't do semi-precious. Nothing but the best in my shop. May I tantalize you with tanzanite? My opals will send you over the moonstone. Or maybe you prefer a little pink sapphire on ice. Whatever your pleasure, we got the goods. Why, just today, we received a prescient, unique obsidian gemstones. Oh, sure, they may not be that remarkable at first glance, but notice the craftsmanship. See how the facets are cut at strange and unnatural angles? The surfaces have been polished impossibly smooth, refracting the light in ways that violate any known mathematical rule or theorem. Theorem? Oh, I hardly know them. But most importantly, if you put it up to your ear, you can hear somebody, something, screaming inside, far, far away. Ah, yeah. That's the stuff. And you'll only get it here at We Will Rock You. Just ask for Big Phil Odendron and I will hook you up with a nice new shining trapezohedron.
And we're back. Under what circumstances would you personally use that product in our service?
Boy, I probably would ask them to leave right away.
I don't know. I mean, sometimes you got to hear these things out because it could end up, you know, you never know, you know, it could.
You know about knowing, you know?
Yeah, you know, you could know.
Hey, you know?
Yeah.
Personally, I would only use that product under service if I had an itch that I couldn't scratch. You know the kind. That little tickle in the middle of your back, in that exact spot where even if you dislocated your shoulder and bent your elbows backward, ligaments snapping like dead tree branches, you still wouldn't be able to reach it. Until this product under service came along, I had to resort to backing up into the nearest wood chipper to get any relief. Added bonus, though, my hemorrhoids are gone. So are my buttocks, gone. No more itch, though. Hashtag worth it.
It's all raw back there. Can you see it? Does it look infected?
Should it be this shade of greenish yellow? I need a moist ointment.
Is the pus supposed to be yellow?
Hey, but it looks good on you, huh?
Ew.
That's a nice moist gushing pustule you have there.
Thank you. I just had it stuffed.
Now, dear investigators, we play Case 14, Tape 4. 1 foot on the platform.
Previously on the Lovecraft Tapes.
Happy days are here again, when our investigators of the unknown are reunited in the tunnels and are given a new mystery to solve. Roy clambers from the cold clutches of a stone sarcophagus, unsure of his surroundings, but always willing to roll with the punches. Rocky and Pippa pass the time making up new rules for cribbage until they're given further direction to explore deeper beneath Blaine Manor. Will there be a suitable reward for this dangerous jaunt? Or will the clock tick down until there are mere minutes remaining in the countdown to destiny? Rocky and Pippa, with a jolt, you awaken in the beds next to Roy's comatose body and sit upright, staring at one another, dressed in the now familiar garb of pajamas decorated with little blue ghosts. Gradually, the fog lifts, and the realization drifts back into your mind. Something disrupted the jaunt, propelling you out of Roy's dreamscape. But what? Groggy, you slowly get dressed, trying to make sense of the events that took place only moments before. Had there really been a sub-sub-basement in Blaine Manor? Or Was this just another fantasy of the brain fast asleep? In one corner of the lab on the ground floor of his residence, Professor Wingate Peasley busily clatters away on a computer keyboard, seemingly absorbed in some experiment or other. The kitchen door is propped open with an ornate umbrella stand. Beyond, you can smell hickory bacon smoke and hear Danny Potts humming happily to herself as she putters at the stove. Out of one of the nearby windows, you can see Maria Diaz sitting on a wooden bench beneath a gnarled apple tree, reading a thick book in the dwindling sunshine before twilight sets in.
Every time I come out of there, I hate myself a little more.
If you're not going to drink your jolt, can I have it?
Only if I can have your surge.
Well, we woke up with a jolt, so I'm assuming we each have one.
I don't know where they keep getting these discontinued soft drinks. Sponsor us, Cole, that way.
Do you think there really was a sub-sub basement? Or is that just something that's in his mind?
No. When the mind attempts to make sense of something that it doesn't understand, it often puts it in a more familiar context. In this case, as his brain was scrambling to understand where he was and what he was doing, he has obviously spent quite the amount of time in plain manner, and so the brain reached back to that familiar setting and adapted it to the current circumstances. Happens all the time in dreams.
So there was a sub-sub basement. Okay. I'm a little hungry. You want to get some food? I smell something amazing.
Excuse me, Professor.
Yes, Rocky.
I thought we had more time left on that one. What happened?
Give me a few moments, if you wouldn't mind. Feel free to come over if you like, but I need to finish this up. And he clatters away on his keyboard.
My legs feel tingly for some reason. When I hit the floor, it feels like I'm not really touching anything. But I get the feeling back and I walk over and just hover over his shoulder while he types. Looking at the screen like I know what he's doing.
How are you floating off the ground like that?
I turn slowly and go, shut it.
Head over to the kitchen and see what's cooking, because I'm hungry.
Pippa, Professor Peasley seems immersed in a sea of data. Pale gray eyes darting over bifocals at two monitors where one displays a series of numbers in a spreadsheet and the other is a grainy grayscale video that you can't quite make out. Post-it notes are stuck to every conceivable surface with handwritten messages, some of which look to be mathematical formulae, and others just reminders to pick up supplies at the grocery store. To one side of his desk is a small refrigerator, upon which is a tray with syringes, sterilized vials, and various first aid materials. Ah, Pippa, welcome back to the land of the living, he says without turning to look at you.
I point over his shoulder at the screen. Go, what's that?
Well, first, I need to hear more from you. Please tell me what did you experience in the dreamscape during your jaunt?
It was a little bizarre, more bizarre than the first one, surprisingly.
Ooh. Yes. How so?
We were playing cribbage, but nobody could remember how to play it. Like, I know how to play cribbage.
It is a complex game, yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but it's not. If you've played it enough, but in his mind, we could not figure out how to play it.
I see. So you're saying that somehow Roy's mindset, his convoluted way of thinking, interrupted the way that you play the rules.
Yes. And it stunted our memory of how to play it.
I see. And how are you now? Do you remember how to play it now that you're out of the dreamscape?
Cheeseburgers. I'm off to the toilet to get lunch.
I see. Was there anything else other than cribbage?
Now, this seemed more real than the first time we went in, but there was a feeling that there was a sub-sub-basement to Blaine Manor.
Yes, yes. I saw that come through the data. Yes.
Now, Rocky explained it quite well, that's a place that he spent much of his time, so obviously his mind would go back to that.
Yes.
But it seemed so real, the fact that it opened up underneath the elevator, that it could have been a possibility, another cave system or something underneath the existing.
You're not exactly sure if it actually existed.
Correct.
This is very curious. So perhaps Roy is filling in the gaps?
Filling in the gaps, or maybe influencing us to fill in the gaps.
I see. Very curious. So Here is what we have examined while you were in the jaunt. Now, as you know, the gem helps us as a conduit, allowing you into Roy's dreamscape. It has also been a way for us to collect data because it emits a series of pulses, and we are able to translate that, those pulses, through a spatial modeling engine here in my computer. It's quite nice, isn't it? It has two monitors, so I am part of the multiple monitor club.
It looks like you need to download some more RAM, though.
Yes, I do. I need to click. No. They told me not to click it. I mustn't click it.
Well, just send them some CVS gift cards and I'm sure they'll fix it.
Yes, I'm sure you're right. I'll get to that later. But anyways, so through this spatial modeling engine, we are able to convert it into a video. That is what you see here on this monitor. And indeed, you see a grainy grayscale still image. What we're able to do is record the dream from Roy's point of view. Yes, it's not perfect, and as you can see, the image is quite rudimentary. You know, we're still trying to refine the algorithm to make sure that we can get as much information as possible, but this is early stages, as you know. I would like to congratulate you, Pippa.
Well, you're welcome.
Because the jaunt this time around was a success, a resounding success. As a matter of fact, you can hear Danny is quite happy. She's been humming the entire time. Once we saw that what had happened, when Roy retrieved the gemstone, we recorded that his brain activity spiked.
Ooh.
And we were able to witness his left hand twitching momentarily. Now, this could have been nerves or many other things, but the very fact that it occurred at the exact self-same moment as when he retrieved the gemstone. Now, I've been talking while you and Rocky were emerging from your slumber, Danny and Maria and I have devised the theory that the gems represent something like pieces of a puzzle. And as he collects these gemstones, he is able somehow, we're not quite certain how yet, to repair his psyche. Does that make sense to you?
It makes sense, yeah.
Does that theory hold water? Not the pee-pee water, but, you know, regular water. Like drinking water. You know, maybe if I'm stung by a jellyfish in the dream, you could pee on me, but I heard that doesn't work.
But we could try it.
So as you can see, we are suitably excited, and thank you for your skills in helping Roy attain this bit of positive reconstruction.
I just hope they can pay the bills.
I know, skills to pay the bills, yes. Well, they may yet. And as such, we must insist that we hold off while we examine more of the data, but at sunrise, we should be able to make another jaunt. If you're up for it. Are you feeling well? Any side effects?
Yeah, I'm very hungry.
Oh, well, Danny is actually making some breakfast for dinner, is how she puts it. I'm not sure of this concept, but I'm a beans and toast kind of gentleman. But
in the toast?
In the toast, yes. Pippa, please make a psychology roll.
I need a 64. I rolled a 92. That's a fail.
Yes, it is. Would you like that to stand?
Push that. Roll.
Shut your hole. No, I'm good.
You look at his face, and although he is clearly excited about these new developments, he does seem slightly distracted. He keeps glancing toward his keyboard and the monitors, and with his right hand, he's fiddling around with some post-it notes.
I'll leave you to it. I'm going to go eat if I can after that. Fiddling your post-it notes, you sick. Sick man. Well, I'll leave you to it. Please let us know if you come across any good information. I'm going to go eat.
Oh, yes, of course. Please don't let me keep you. You need your strength for tomorrow, for certain. Please make a spot hidden roll.
I need a 35. I rolled a 44. That's a fail.
You going to let that stand?
Yeah, I'm going to let it stand. I'm a little out of it still from coming out of there, and I'm hungry, so I'm not really focusing on much.
You're standing up, getting ready to go into the kitchen, and just before you leave, you see like the corner of a dry cleaning ticket sticking out from underneath this keyboard. It just strikes you odd among all of the post-it notes and the spreadsheets and the printouts and everything else. Among all that is a dry cleaning ticket. That's all. You head towards the kitchen. So where Rocky has already been. So we'll pick up with him. You walk in and Danny is humming and actually kind of dancing in place a little bit at the stove and clearly making what appears to be bacon sizzling in a cast iron pan. And in another pan, looks like scrambled eggs, and there are some tortilla shells nearby. Looks like maybe street taco.
Gonna take a couple of steps into the kitchen towards her. Well, somebody sure seems happy today.
Oh, well, why wouldn't I be? I mean, you guys blew it out of the park. This is great. You guys are the best. And she rushes back over to you and kisses you full on the lips and then goes straight back to the stove and resumes her dancing and humming. So are you a two taco guy or a three taco guy?
I'm going to stand there for a second and just blank-eyed stare at her.
And she takes no notice. She's, like, just dancing in place, fixing things, cooking things.
I'll start with two, I guess. Thank you.
No worries. Coming right up. Cheese? You like shredded cheddar on that?
Oh, yes. You can't go wrong with cheese on almost
excellent.
Anything.
And the salsa's already on the table. I'm going to have a little bit of guac here. I'm mixing up some of my fresh stuff, so I'll have that over here in just a second. Have a seat. Have a seat. What? And so how did things go in there anyways?
That's the odd thing. It simultaneously felt like we didn't do anything, and yet we accomplished something.
Well, I'll say you did. Oh, my God. He moved. He moved.
Well, I mean, he was walking around with us, but I...
No, I mean here. Here he moved. His arm, his hand moved.
Really?
Yes.
Well, I guess that is quite the significant moment.
Well, we seem to think so. Maria actually was saying that she thinks it's like, you know, kind of spiritual and she's got like connections and stuff. I think it's a bit more than that. I think like spirits, okay? I think there's like something that's guiding him toward the not the light, but actually the light back here, right? Because, you know, he's not dead. He's not dead.
He's feeling better.
He's feeling better.
He's not dead yet.
My gosh, you guys are amazing. And I just, that's what, I had to do breakfast tacos. I mean, it's just great.
Once he picked up the stone.
Yes, the gemstone.
It kind of felt like we were just ejected. I really thought had more time.
That's
but
true.
He went through, I remember holding, there was something with a key and a door, and we were holding it something, and he went into a room on his own, and something about he saw and grabbed something, and then we were back in the beds.
Yeah, absolutely. That's it exactly. And you can watch the video. The doc has a video. Like, he can video this stuff.
There's a video.
Yes, we saw what Roy did. So we have a recording of it, which is incredible. I mean, you could just see his mind is active and alive. It's so exciting to see all this. And you're exactly right. He grabbed this gemstone. And when he did, something happened. And you guys were, I think, according to our clock, you were supposed to be in there for at least another 10 minutes. Usually we have a 90-minute window. But, you know, it's not exact science. We're forging new methods of dream investigation here. And I don't know whether it was him experiencing that somehow that leaked into or seeped into your minds and propelled you out of the dream. Did the dream change or just become something else for him? We're still looking at that. I don't know. But it's exciting because he's alive.
Oh, yes. I mean, new territory into a whole new scientific endeavor. I just wish I could remember more about that stone.
Yeah, where did you get that thing anyways? I mean, you lent it to the doc.
I do not know. I just remember the circus tent was on fire. There was screaming something about stones, and then I woke up and we were all outside. It's blank. I really wish I could remember what it was or where I found it, but I just had it.
You guys really got up to some crazy shenanigans once you left Delta Greens, I must say. I realize it's been a little while and we've had our own adventures, but so how are you meshing with Pippa? I mean, she seems to be kind of a wild card. Wasn't expecting that.
Took a bit of integration. I mean, within any established social unit, whenever you try and bring in a new entity, there is an initial bout of resistance to change. Particularly her handiwork with magic seems to repeatedly come up and be helpful to a degree. I mean, I know well enough about the types of dark arts that exist in this world to stay far away from them. So I guess I applaud someone who is either brave or stupid enough to ignore that and go for it.
And she brings over a couple tacos and plants them in front of you and has her own plate in front of her. Actually, she has a plate with just like two pieces of plain bacon, and she's munching on them, and she's studying your face very intently. And she says, "You know, you don't look a lick like your brother. Why is that?"
Long story. Happened before Delta Green.
Oh, I see your mom. Okay. It makes sense. I mean, you know, maybe it was the 60s or the 70s and the disco. I don't know.
Not like that. It was an island and cultists who were attempting to resurrect Dagon, and there was a lake at the top of a mountain. And
is that a euphemism?
No, I mean, quite literally, there is an island in the Pacific that no longer exists because a bunch of cultists sank it in an attempt to summon an elder god. It didn't go well.
Oh, this sounds like a really bad story from a guy who was maybe making things up on the fly and
a British guy named Stephen Crumpet who had rocket launchers.
Well, I've heard of him, so that makes sense. You know, honestly, I don't care. Maybe your mom got her. I don't care. It doesn't matter. What really matters is that you're doing this for him. That's what really counts. That's how I know you're a real brother. Now, I'm not so good with, you know, feelings and whatnot, but I do want to let you know that how much I appreciate everything you've done. You know, that Roy Arroyo, he's what I like to call a true original.
I like to call him truly annoying, but to each their
own. Yeah, it's something a brother would say for sure. But honestly, I'm not sure I want to know what a world without him would be like. Here. She hands you a bronzed mini planchette about the size of a half dollar. Ricky gave it to me a long time ago. It's brought me a fair amount of luck. Heck, I doubt I'd even have been able to get away from that monster or climb out of that well if it weren't for this little gizmo. Call me superstitious if you want, but I'm hoping it'll help you bring back Roy.
Well, at this point, I'll take any kind of help I can get, so thank you.
You may put down in your inventory
pancetta.
Mini pancetta. It's just a bite.
It's like an amuse-bouche.
You may, at any time, change one dice roll during the game. A failure becomes success. A success becomes a hard success. A hard success becomes an extreme success. An extreme success becomes a critical. It's a one-time use.
And it's only my rolls? I can't, like, extend that to someone else?
Your roll only, so use it wisely. And now, we are in development phase for you. So first off, obviously, we're going to do some skill check-in.
So first up is my firearms handgun, which is currently sitting at 78. I rolled a 15.
So that is not over 78, so you can uncheck that. It will not go up.
Next up is library use, which currently sits at an 80. I roll a 9 to 2, which means I am now 10 points better at library. Brings my library use up to a 90.
That, and listens up next.
It's at a 38. I rolled a 48, so I'm going to get 6 points better at listening, which was a 44.
FYI, if skill attains 90% or more, which your library use just did, you get to add 2d6 sanity points.
If I roll well. So my psychology is also at an 80. That's a 47, so I'm not any better at psychologing.
And finally, spot hidden.
which is a 62, which would be really great to bump a little. And I rolled an 85, so I do. And I am now 4 points better at spotting the hidden, which puts me at a 66.
Nice. So we're going to go ahead and move on to gain sanity through self-help. So the key connection, you guys weren't aware until last time that a year has elapsed. Within that year, I think it's safe to say you would have overcome your key connection. So what I'd like you to do now is erase your key connection and choose a new one. What I would do is I think back to case 13 or even the beginning of this case and choose something that you think would be something that you need to overcome. What was something that you failed last time that would really bother you and that you need to overcome this time?
I know what it is.
What?
Getting in contact with your contacts. Everybody you tried to get in contact with to help us with the investigation, nobody picked up, nobody answered, nobody helped.
True.
Lack of communication. That seems reasonable.
Yeah.
What we have here is a failure to communicate. Go ahead and make a sanity roll.
I needed a 54. I rolled a 92, so I failed my sanity roll.
You are going to reduce your sanity by one.
So that moves me down to 53.
But now is the point where we can add the 2d6. So go ahead and roll 2d6, and we can at least increase your sanity because of your skill attaining 90%.
I rolled a 12. So that put me at 65.
Awesome. And then we're going to recover some luck. So you want to roll D100.
I have 46 luck as of now. And 46 luck I shall remain.
Finally, credit rating. So roll D100.
Current credit rating is an 88. I rolled a 70.
Okay, so basically it stays the same. Finally, we're going to do training because you've had ample time to train. And so what you want to do is pick a skill that you want to train in. That's the first step.
I might put it into my fighting brawl because I'm really great if I have a gun in my hands, but I lose that and I kind of drop off in terms of proficiency.
Roll D100 then.
So I need to roll over a 36 and I rolled an 83. I got a 5. That puts me at 41. Spent some time at the punching bag.
As you pocket the mini planchette and endure the adoring gaze of Danny. Pippa strolls in, smelling bacon and kind of hungry. Danny looks over at you and says, "Oh, hey, Pippa. Maria said she wanted to see you outside."
"Can I steal a piece of bacon? I'm so hungry."
"Of course. There's plenty there in the cast iron. Have at it." You pop a piece of bacon into your maw.
"Come here, Ma."
And it tastes amazing. Your senses are attuned beyond the stratosphere. It feels like the very first piece of bacon you've ever tasted.
I'm going to nod to Rocky and head out to go speak with Diaz under the tree.
You walk outside. As you approach Maria, she puts aside the book and puts it in her lap and smiles up at you, looking at you with clearly genuine affection. In fact, her comforting presence radiates love and warmth, tinged perhaps with a touch of mirth in her soulful brown eyes. "You look so much like your father," she says, "and you have his sense of honor. What you are doing, these jaunts to save Roy, that's something your father would have done for a close friend. Tell me, how are you dealing with the enormity of this responsibility?"
"I'm going to be 100% honest here. I didn't even really think of it until you just mentioned that. I just went into a friend needs help and you just go. You don't stop to think about the grand vision of everything. You just keep going until the person you care for is better."
"Your father exhibited the same humility."
"Did they cut it off?"
"Yes, they had to. He died."
"Oh, Danny."
"Please sit next to me. How are you feeling, I mean, after all of this?"
"The first time, it was kind of an out-of-body experience. But this time, it felt like stuff that I know, the knowledge that I have, it was pushed aside when we were in. There were things that I couldn't remember how to do, knowing full well that I know how things worked. So that might be a good sign. I don't know. But that might mean that his mind is coming back and becoming stronger and is taking over the narrative and controlling what's in his mind. Rather than us leading him, he's starting to take over. But it's just a guess. It was very strange to not know how to complete a task that any other day out here in the real world, I would be able to do no problem.
Pippa, I want you to know that what you are doing is noble and worthwhile. And I've seen you, the three of you, you are stronger together. That is why we chose you to complete this unit. There is power in the number three, the Trinity. And at least I feel as though together you complete the circuit. And it isn't only that Roy has found his way through the wilderness of his mind and dreams and nightmares, but that you and Rocky have helped guide him along the right path. And hopefully, eventually, he will return to us. I know that Danny and Professor Peasley are ecstatic over the results of this latest jaunt. And I, too, feel delighted that there is hope. But we must persevere. And until he is out of this nothingness, none of us can rest. And I would like to say that your efforts this past year to understand your innate gifts have been impressive. I think you've made great strides toward conquering your fears and exploring the boundary of your power. And I'm happy to say that the time has come. A look of pride illuminates her face, the laugh lines crinkling around her eyes as she opens the book in her lap and pulls out an unmarked sealed envelope. She hands it to you with reverence. I hope, and yes, even pray, that this will aid you in your quests.
Do you want what's in the envelope, or do you want to trade it for what's behind door number one?
Da-da-da-da-da. Well, you didn't have to do this, but thank you very much. The words of encouragement and all of your help this past year have made a world of difference. I feel much more in control of who I am and who I want to be.
This makes me happy. Please, with great power comes...
bacon.
Bacon.
It's a $20 gift card to the Tapas restaurant.
She stands from the bench, pats you on the shoulder, and then wanders back into the house, leaving you on the bench with the envelope.
So I'm going to watch her leave. My heart is full, and I'm going to, welled up in my eyes, I'm going to look down and open up the envelope.
So you open up the envelope, and inside is the final power word for the spell that you have been practicing this past year with Maria's assistance. And I have selected for you the same spell that she used and allowed Roy to use during case 13.
Tai Shu.
This is Bless Blade. It costs 5 power, 1d4 sanity points. It takes an hour to cast, but it creates a blade capable of damaging or killing entities that cannot be harmed by mundane weapons. It requires the blood sacrifice of an animal at least size 50. The blade of the knife must be an elemental metal such as iron or silver. The blade may be of any size. However, larger blades do greater damage. If the blade is broken, melted, or otherwise damaged, it permanently loses the ability. So essentially, it's like you get a blade, which we assume that you already have one in your possession, and it's already been given the animal sacrifice, and it is imbued as soon as you do this power word. This will belong to you as a weapon. And now we are in development phase for Pippa. So we need to do skill checks right off the bat.
A whole 3 of them.
Okay, so first aid is your first guy. So you want to get over a 51 on D100.
I rolled a 7.
Okay, so that's failure. You can uncheck that. Next up is listen. You need a 41 or better.
24.
Spot hidden is your final one, and that is going to be a 36 or more.
Hey, I got a 56.
Roll D10.
Oh, I rolled a 10.
Spot hidden is now 45.
After the rest of the fails, that was good.
We need to pick a new key connection for you. So think about case 13 and New York. What was something that you failed at that you regret?
I was thinking not being able to spot that Tomislav was an agent, a double agent.
So maybe something with trust issues?
Okay. Trust issues. So you're going to go ahead and roll sanity.
I need a 67. I rolled an 86.
You failed it and you went over. So you're going to decrease your sanity by one. Okay, so now you need to roll D100.
I rolled a 60.
And you need over your current luck, which is 39. So go ahead and roll D10.
Two. But that's okay.
So your luck's going up to 41.
Every little bit counts, man.
That's right.
Go ahead and roll D100 for your credit rate.
Seven.
Okay, you needed a 66, so no go there. Finally, training. So you get to pick one skill.
Fight brawl.
Okay, so you're going to go fight brawl. You need to roll D100 and get
over 25. Come on. I got a two.
So we are done with development phases.
Cool.
The five of you reconvene and enjoy a very nice breakfast for dinner prepared by Danny. And everyone is in great spirits because you've made progress, you've had a great meal, and each of you has had personal goals achieved. And you feel very positive and excited about tomorrow's jaunt. Once the meal is done, is there anything you want to do before you go to sleep?
Just go for an early evening walk outside, around the grounds, before I go to bed, get some fresh air.
I'm going to spend some time sitting at the machine, just kind of intensely staring at that gem, trying as hard as I can to remember what it is, where it came from, how I got it, anything.
At a certain point, Maria and Danny excuse themselves and are working in a separate room, apparently on some data that was collected. You're not quite sure. Pippa, you're able to wander the grounds, and it's a beautiful Arkham property, particularly in July. Like, things are still in bloom. The apples are on the tree. It's warm out, and it's a bit humid. You can actually see that there's probably going to be a bit of a squall during the night. You can hear crickets sing-songing through the air. Rocky, you are spending time in the lab taking a peek at that curious gemstone. Shortly after you sit down and start contemplating it, Professor Peasley mumbles something about having to grade some papers or something, summer school at Miskatonic, and he excuses himself and bids you goodnight and leaves the property.
Continue to intensely stare and ponder at the gem until I just, like, pass out and fall asleep in front of it.
You don't necessarily need to sleep in the beds that are provided right next to Roy, unless you want to. There are also bedrooms upstairs, because this is an expansive professor's house, and it's old, and they have bedrooms upstairs for you, if you like.
I already scoped out a room and put some of my belongings in it.
You've obviously spent time in that room previously. You just sort of didn't remember that.
I'm going to take a shower and sit on the bed and let everything sink in.
Rocky, anything else other than curl up next to Roy?
No.
You settle down for the evening, and despite having technically slept during the jaunt, that short nap did not make a dent in your exhaustion. There are nights when your mind picks at the edges of thought, like a cat worrying a chew toy. But tonight, every distraction seems to be sucked down into a whirlpool of sticky midnight sap that clutches at the corners of anxiety, rationale, and desire, pulling you inexorably into the dripping chasm of dream. So let's start with Rocky. What is your dream?
Starts back in that cavern under the subway. Lights on, stone coffin, Roy lying inside. And down one end of the tunnel, you can kind of hear what sounds like almost a laughing, somebody cackling to themselves in the distance.
The chamber that you're in is lined with sarcophaguses in the walls. There are these alcoves with skulls in them. And above Roy is a looming statue, a head of a hyena, a jackal.
Go over and take a minute to closely examine the sarcophagus that Roy is in and the statue that is presiding over him. And then once again, there's going to be that laughter from that tunnel. Turn and start walking towards it. But the closer I get to that tunnel, almost a dull green glow kind of covers that entrance. And the closer I get to that, the brighter that green glow gets until the point where I'm standing right next to it and I can barely keep my eyes open. And as hard as I try to push past that glow to find what's behind it, it's like a solid wall. And I'm just standing there, pounding on it, wincing from the bright light, trying to get through to find what's on the other side, because I know it's important. I need to know what it is. I need to find that information, but it either my brain or something else out there is physically blocking me from being able to access that part of my mind. Standing there just wailing on this thing, and I can feel, you know, the bones in my hands start breaking. I'm pounding so hard against this thing, and I can feel my hands giving up and my arms giving up, and I slump down and fall backwards, and the second my head hits the floor of the cavern, I jolt awake next to Roy, still sitting by him right next to that gemstone.
And the laughter resounds in your memory, this echoing, trailing hyena laugh. And you realize that the green portal that you were pounding and pounding against felt like one of the hatches in the ship where you and Roy were stranded. The ghost ship before you had to fight Dagon. The duality, the doppelgangers, the cold metal of a hatch that would not open despite the encroaching zombie horde behind. Please roll sand.
I needed a 65. I rolled a 77. That's a failure.
Pippa, tell me about your dream.
I find myself back sitting at the table in the sub-basement of Blaine Manor with a cribbage board in front of me, but I know how to play. It's clear. So I look up from the cribbage board and Roy's right across from me. It's obviously not my turn. He's concentrating on his move. But without moving his mouth, I hear clear as day his voice saying, "Why are you guys in my head? Why are you in here?" That shocks me so much, I actually stand and back up. And I'm in the elevator and it's going up. And as soon as it gets to the top, the loudest dinging sound.
When you reach the top, a loud ding resounds. The doors scrape open, and Roy is standing directly in front of you, despite the fact that you left him far, far below. And he is holding in his arms a black cat, stroking it gently underneath the chin. And he says, "I have the kitty." And then the elevator plummets down. It's almost as if the cable has snapped and you clutch the ground of the car, waiting for the eventual inevitable impact. You're traveling so fast that the hairs on the back of your neck seem to be standing straight up, and yet you continue faster and faster. You clutch and scrabble at the guardrails inside the elevator car, dreading the moment when the crash will occur. And you think, we're in the basement now. Now we're in the sub-basement. Now we're in the sub-sub-basement. And continues. And slowly, your dread dissipates because you realize there is no bottom. And it's at that moment of realization you awaken. Pippa, please roll sanity.
Needed a 66. I got a 98. That's a fail on every roll tonight.
The next morning, you find yourselves dressed in the usual spooky pajamas, nestled in the same lab beds next to Roy, but feeling slightly uneasy. Danny and Maria are out running errands, so their absence might be contributing to your nervousness, though Professor Peasley is attentive, warm, and conversational. With breakfast, you took a little blue pill, just a standard over-the-counter sleep aid meant to relax your body. It's kicking in now as Peasley administers the injections, then fits the wire braces to your skull. "You both seem tense. Does this jaunt worry you?" he asks.
Just a little bit of some weird dreams last night.
I'm sorry to hear that. Anything unusual?
No, I think it's just the experience of being not being in control as much as I'm used to in the last jaunt. I think that that got my mind working, so I didn't get the best night's sleep.
Completely understandable. I don't tell many people this, but I do have this recurring dream that I am running through a field.
Are you wearing pants?
Currently, yes.
Don't look down.
I have this absurd but concrete certainty that I can fly. And in this field, I begin running. I run faster than I've ever gone, even when I was much younger, of course. And at a certain point, I am able to achieve flight. I really chalk this up to a case of mind over matter, of course. But in the dream, I believe all things can be possible with the correct application of will. Does that make sense to you?
It does, yes. Mind over matter.
Yes, essentially, yes. Of course, I want you to be as relaxed as you can be as you go into this next jaunt.
Yeah, the pill helped a lot. I'm feeling pretty good.
All right then, Pippa. Rocky, are you all set? Are you feeling fine?
Oh, I have years of bottled up trauma. Take your pick.
I see. Well, I saw that you were sleeping next to your brother last night, and I'm sure that he appreciates it.
Obviously, you haven't spent a whole lot of time with Roy.
All right then. Well, I believe the time is upon us. Each of you, please make a psychology roll.
I needed an 80. I rolled a 53. That is a success.
Oh, I need a 64. I rolled a 57. I got a success, everybody.
You feel your limbs grow heavy, eyelids drooping, and thoughts flitting through your head like laundry on a clothesline, whipping in a wind that's getting stronger, more intense. Then it is as if you too are consumed by the maelstrom, disassembling all of your constituent parts, seeping into the eye of the storm, being pulled through to... Please roll intelligence.
I need a 75 and rolled a 93.
I needed a 60. I rolled a 33. That's a success.
Pippa, with a bone-jarring thud, your feet hit a creaking wooden floor. There is the tickling sensation of dust in your nostrils, reeking of old cardboard boxes and books swollen with damp rot. Equilibrium returns much more quickly than past jaunts, and you're able to open your eyes without any disorientation. It appears you're in some kind of storage space. Dim, except for ghostly moonlight shining through a skylight above. After a moment, you realize it's an attic, populated by cobwebbed clothes hanging from rusty hangers, discarded broken toys, storage bins overflowing with cracked dishes and piles upon piles of forgotten tomes whose titles have long been erased. Furtive movement in the shadows makes you wonder how many spiders might be nesting up here. Drawing breath, you turn to Rocky. Oh no, it can't be. You stare around the room and shiver with sickening recognition. This attic is all too familiar, and though you know it to be a product of Roy's imagination, you can't help but feel the same sense of dread you felt when you'd last been here. This is the attic in Poe Mance. Almost as if on cue, you hear a burbling query echo from the darkness. The voice of a child, but one that might have been drowned in a boggy swamp.
Please help us. E. K. keeps us here. Always.
And then you see them, parodies of the girls you rescued back in Providence. Tiny humanoid figures swathed in blood-red thread. Shambling, hurrying toward you from the alcoves. Three sisters trapped in a fatalistic nightmare. Arms outstretched in eager welcome. Tune in next time as we play another reel of the Lovecraft Tapes.
Hello, kids.
I don't think those kids are real, Brian.
What's real?
What is reality? Oh boy, here I go shooting things again.
So now it is time for hashtag recommendos, where we share some of our geeky obsessions. So I will begin us out with my recommendo. And I will admit, I'm happy to admit, that after the heyday of 1980s horror movies, at the height of practical effects, followed by the onslaught of shitty CGI in the 1990s, I kind of fell out of love with the spoopy genre. I moved on to indie flicks and more mainstream fare. As such, I missed out on a couple gems from that decade. One of those was 1994's Mosquito, directed by Gary Jones and starring Gunnar Hansen, Ron Ashton, Steve Dixon, and Rachel Louiselle, not to mention some guy named Kenny Mugwump, which is surely a pseudonym of epic proportions. The plot is simple. A spaceship crash lands on Earth, a la Night of the Creeps, and mosquitoes drink dead alien blood, making them gigantic mosquitoes that now attack humans, as you do. A gaggle of survivors fight off the flying critters and end up in a farmhouse last stand situation, a la Night of the Living Dead. That's the story in a nutshell. But make no mistake, this is a comedy. Acting is over the top, purposely so, yet the characters are given a fair degree of pathos and empathy. Camera work demonstrates some skill and the direction's fine. The effects, however, are the perfect intersection between the 80s and the 90s. There are fun mosquito puppets, gooey corpses drained of life, but also ridiculous Birdemic-style digital renderings of the swarms. If the movie had taken itself seriously, this just wouldn't work. But luckily, they shove tongue firmly in cheek and just have fun with it. Mosquito is a dumb, good time if you don't get too hung up on the details. And hand on heart, it was filmed in our home state of Michigan, where, let's be honest, mosquitoes, no laughing matter. Check it out. Mosquito, I recommend it for a really dumb, fun time. All right, moving on. Matt, grace us with your pick.
So you remember that carefree time back in before, you know, COVID was a thing, back when people would get together with groups and their friends and they'd go out and do things. And there was the emergence of this exploding trend called escape rooms, where you and your friends would be locked inside a space and have to solve a series of complex puzzles working together to try and get out before the time runs out. Well, I mean, those probably aren't a thing anymore. But I have the next best thing, which is a simulation. Escape Simulator is a multiplayer or single player co-op puzzle game built around the idea of being a virtual recreation of the escape room. Comes down to you either by yourself or with your friends solving a series of interconnected puzzles in different settings and different themes. The game comes preloaded with the stuff that, of course, the developers made. And there's like an ancient Egypt themed set of rooms. There's like a space themed set of rooms. There's like a haunted mansion themed set of rooms. And each of these are five or six rooms each. And each room itself has several interconnected puzzles. So it very quickly goes back to what it does and what it's designed to do very well, which is to simulate that group puzzle-solving experience of, you know, you are trying to figure out what this means and your friend is on the other side of the room looking at it, you know, oh, I have a number lock over here. Oh, look, there's something on the back of this. And it just falls really quickly into that really awesome, like, rhythm of working together with a group of people to solve a puzzle. And it's a lot of fun. I've been playing quite a bit with some of our friends on our Discord. I've been playing with Atulia and playing some with Chiru, and we have a really good time because it's just so well designed, and you can do some things in video game space that you can't do in meat space that really kind of help add variety and excitement to some of the puzzles. Along with coming packed with a good set of pre-made rooms, there is extensive developer support for the Steam Workshop. So you have a whole huge slew of community-made rooms, and they do their best to kind of curate those and point you towards ones that, you know, the developers really love, and every month they put up a new list of, like, featured community rooms. So even after you finish the stuff that's there, you can dive into this laundry list of community fan-made stuff that is in some cases just as good, if not slightly more well-designed than some of the stuff the developers have done. So if you're looking for that old-time escape room experience, the getting together and, you know, solving puzzles with friends and just having a really good time, Escape Simulator is going to be where you want to go.
All right. Thanks, Matt. And Brian, close us out, bud.
I'm going to recommend a show. It's so full of nostalgia for me that I might just watch it all again. Picard. Growing up, I absolutely loved Star Trek. Maybe not the original episodes so much, being a younger kid. I appreciate them more now that I'm older. But definitely, The Next Generation got me hooked on science and science fiction. Watching Picard, my first thought was, Patrick Stewart is amazing, of course. He's Captain Picard. But he's up there in years, and would he be able to pull a whole show by himself? And without a doubt, he still has every ounce of vigor that he had when he was the captain of the Enterprise 30 years ago. All the adventures and everything that has happened throughout his career comes to a point in the two seasons that are currently out on Paramount. The one thing that absolutely blew me away was that throughout the two seasons, you actually got to revisit with the original characters from Star Trek The Next Generation. They actually brought back all of the actors, whether they were large or small roles. It didn't matter. They brought everybody back that was in the original series. And I'm not going to ruin it for anybody, but my favorite parts growing up of Star Trek was, I always loved it when Q was in it, just because those were wacky and anything could happen. So it kind of took that, the seriousness of the science that was always an underlying tone on their episodes, to fantasy and craziness and anything could happen. And it was just, you couldn't guess where it was going to go. And the Borg, of course, were fantastic. So definitely recommend checking out Picard. Obviously, you can tell I'm passionate about it. I really enjoyed it. Very well done, very well made. And I'm sure they're going to do a third season.
All right, cool. Well, guys, that's it for this episode of the Lovecraft Tapes. Thank you for listening. Please subscribe on whatever podcast platform you prefer. If you like what you hear, please leave us a review. Meanwhile, you can find us at lovecrafttapes.com with links to all our hashtag recommendos and social media channels, including Reddit, YouTube, and our Discord server, where you can chat with us in real time. You can find me on Twitter at lovecrafttapes.
And if anybody happens to know somebody who studies strange green-ish obsidian out of pocket dimension gemstones for a living and they want to help me out, tell them to hit me up on Twitter at the real weird kid.
Hey, if anybody can hook me up with some Jolt Cola six pack, I don't care, maybe a case, reach out to me at Brian Podcast on Twitter.
Until next time, roll four. She blinded me with science.
Blinded me with science.
Science
and Jolt Cola.
The Lovecraft Tapes podcast is copyright 2022. For more information and sponsorship opportunities, please send email to podcast@thelovecrafttapes.com. Support the Lovecraft Tapes podcast and get access to exclusive content and rewards at patreon.com/lovecrafttapes.